Good morning and thank you for tuning in. I'm speaking to you from where we normally gather for our Sunday services, but today it's just me and the camera. Wherever you are watching this, I hope you are well, and I hope that this message from God's Word will be a help and an encouragement. Now, from time to time, it's appropriate for a pastor to speak directly to what's going on in the world, especially if it's impacting his congregation. I did this last Sunday when I talked about how the coronavirus pandemic has brought more disappointment and more confusion into our lives. But the good news is that as Christians, we have hope in every season of life because our Lord Jesus rose again and lives forevermore. We always have hope because we've committed our lives to the right person. This morning, I want to again speak directly to what we're going through at the moment. And perhaps it's even more appropriate given that after 14 months, we're back in lockdown again and can't meet together for worship. Of course, everyone's experience is different. I'm sure many of you are doing well, but perhaps some are really struggling. Whatever the case, the message today is for all of us. Now, I think a lot of people, maybe the great majority of people, are looking for a way out, especially as the pandemic drags on. And what I mean is that they're looking for a way out of the psychological and the emotional stress that the pandemic has brought. They're looking for a way to escape the anxiety and the negativity, or at least they're looking for a way to cope, a way to be able to get on with life in a positive frame of mind. From what I can tell, and I might be wrong, people seem to be trying a number of things. For some, they've literally escaped. They've left Sydney or Melbourne and moved to the country to get away from the pandemic and all the restrictions. But perhaps that's not going to be so successful as the virus begins to impact regional communities like our own. Others, perhaps a small minority, have decided to break the rules, to disregard the COVID restrictions altogether. That's their way out. Some are motivated by genuine political and philosophical convictions. Some are motivated by conspiracy theories, and others are just straight out rebellious. They're going to do whatever they want, no matter what anyone else says. But the opposite is also happening. There are those for whom the way out is to be fastidious about keeping the rules, even a bit obsessive. For these people, being zealous about hand washing, mask wearing and social distancing gives them some measure of peace. They're careful to keep themselves informed. They're getting news alerts on their phone by the hour. Now, according to this way of thinking, the more confident you are that you're doing the right things, the less stressed you'll be. And if you can make sure others are doing the right thing, that's even better. This is the pandemic version of works righteousness, if I can put it that way. For others, the way out is to try to shut the world out, to turn off the TV and the radio, to get off social media, to avoid as much as possible anything that reminds them of what's happening. And there is definitely some value in being discerning about how much news and social media we're consuming. And maybe for some, getting off Facebook is a really good idea. And maybe some need to switch off the 24-hour news channel. But at the same time, we have to face up to reality. We have to deal with the world as it is. We have to deal with the circumstances that God, in his providence, has ordained for us to live through. And then finally, for many, the way out is not to literally escape, but it's escapism. And a bit of this can be a very good thing. You know, read a book, watch a movie, play some video games, go for a walk, do some gardening, give your mind a break. Immerse yourself in something else, something that brings you joy. But too much escapism is not a good thing at all, especially if it involves drugs, alcohol, or pornography. I was thinking about this last Sunday after our services. It occurred to me that perhaps some in my congregation, some of you, are looking for a way out. You want to get out from under the stress and the strain. You want to feel positive about life. Perhaps the longer this has gone on, the harder it's become to be positive. Well, this idea of looking for a way out prompted me to think of a verse in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And I want to take a few minutes to work through it with you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But I'm going to read from chapter 10, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And here it is, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So as you can see, verse 13, a verse that many of us know well, is given in the context of teaching concerning the sin of idolatry. The Apostle Paul cites the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They committed idolatry and fornication. They tempted Christ. They complained. And they were judged. Thousands perished. Now, the city of Corinth was famous for its idol temples and for all of the sins that were associated with those temples. Idolatry was a way of life. And for the Corinthian Christians, it was seriously tempting to go back to that way of life, to participate in the sin that went on in those temples. Paul is very direct. He goes on to say in verse 14, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Run away from it. Have nothing to do with it. Don't do what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. That's the context. And what I want to focus on before we get to the part about the way to escape is the concept of temptation. Verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you." That is, there is no temptation that has come into your life but such as is common to man. Normally, when we think of temptation, we think of a solicitation or an enticement to commit sin. We think of Eve in the Garden of Eden and the way she was tempted by the serpent. Something desirable and yet sinful is held out to us and we're drawn to it. We know it's wrong. We know it goes against God's law. It goes against what God says we should or shouldn't do. But there is a part of us that wants whatever it is. That's how we usually think of temptation. But the word means more than this. Temptation is not always an enticement to do something sinful. It is a test or a trial of any kind. Temptation can come in the form of suffering. When we suffer, we're also tempted to do the wrong thing, aren't we? We're tempted to get angry. We're tempted to become bitter. We're tempted to speak unkind words and so forth. For the Corinthians, The temptation to worship idols came in both forms. There were the obvious pleasures of sin. Idol worship often involved drunkenness and sexual immorality, and we can understand how a person might be drawn to that. But there was also the pressure to conform, the pressure to do what everyone else was doing. It was hard to be different. It was hard to separate yourself from that way of life. The believers would have been disparaged by their friends and neighbours, slandered, perhaps even ostracised for not participating in idol worship. It was very difficult to live as a Christian in first century Corinth, as it was in all of the cities of the Roman Empire. They were all awash with pagan religion, with pagan culture. And while we are not under persecution for our faith, our present circumstances are trying. The pandemic and the way it has disrupted our lives is a temptation of sorts. We're under pressure. For many of us, life has become a bit harder, if not physically, certainly emotionally and psychologically. And we're tempted to respond sinfully in many ways. We're tempted to fall into unbelief, into a kind of despondency where we essentially turn our back on God. We're tempted to walk away from Him and from His church. Oh, we're tempted into becoming bitter and angry. Perhaps we can feel ourselves being drawn into that. We're tempted towards becoming selfish and self-serving. You know, as the pandemic drags on, maybe we find ourselves caring less and less about others. We're less gracious, less patient, less loving. Or maybe we're tempted to look for comfort in the wrong places, in alcohol or in pornography or in pursuing entertainment or some hobby at the expense of our family responsibilities, at the expense of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the midst of a trial. We are in a season of temptation. And that's why we should be very interested in what our verse goes on to say. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will not permit us to be tempted more than we are able to bear. In other words, He will not allow the pressure to be so great that responding sinfully is unavoidable. I'll say that again. God will not allow the pressure to be so great that responding sinfully is unavoidable. God will never put us in a position where we can turn around and say, well, I had no choice, there was nothing else I could do, I had to get angry and lash out, I had to say those unkind words, I had to treat my family poorly, I had to drink too much, I had to watch some porn, I had to disobey the Lord, the pressure was too much. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. As hard as life might be at the moment, it's not so hard that we have no choice but to yield to temptation. Now we have to take our medicine this morning. Now we have no excuse for bad behaviour. We have no excuse for living any differently to the way that Christ calls us to live. As much as I want to encourage you with God's word this morning, I'm also required to bring what might be a word of correction for some. The pandemic is not an excuse for slacking off. It's not an excuse for paying less attention to God's word or being less committed to Christ's body. The pandemic is not a leave pass when it comes to the Christian life. Things are not so bad that we have no choice but to give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't do it. Don't yield to temptation. Now, we have to be careful here. The apostle is not saying that God looks at our ability our strength, our faith, and he, as it were, sets a limit. Oh, you can take this much temptation, and you, well, you're not as strong, so you can only take this much temptation. Maybe he does do that, I don't know, but that's not the message of this verse. God will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, because he will, and he does, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's not about our strength. It's about his provision. God always provides a way for us not to fall into sin. He provides a way for us to do the right thing, whether it's temptation in the form of an enticement to sin, or it's temptation in the form of pressure or suffering. We're able to overcome that temptation by his grace. It's also important to note that when Paul talks about a way to escape, he's not talking about a way to rid oneself of the temptation. He's not talking about getting away from whatever the circumstances might be. Rather, he's talking about the means by which we can bear those circumstances. He's talking about a way to endure temptation without falling into sin. Listen again to the second part of the verse. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The temptation, the pressure, might still be there. It probably will be. But God promises to give us a way to cope with it, a way to bear up under it and remain faithful to him. Now, with this in mind, here's the question that I want to get to. This is a question that you might well want an answer to. If God promises a way to escape in the midst of temptation, if God promises a way out, then what is the way out when it comes to what we're going through? What is the way out for us in the midst of the pandemic and the pressure that it has brought into our lives? Well, God has given us a number of ways by which we can endure and remain faithful. He's provided various means by which we can be positive and even joyful during this difficult time. I spoke about one of these last Sunday. Now, we always have hope because Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is a truth that turns us around, that lifts us up. Remembering that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is King, that's one way of escape when we're tempted to give up or get angry. There is another way out that I want to draw your attention to. We find it in another of Paul's letters, this time his letter to the Philippians. And I'm fairly confident you know these verses well. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, do not be anxious about anything. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul understood that we are highly susceptible to anxiety. He understood that there are circumstances that come into our lives that can cause us to worry, to be more than concerned, but to be troubled in our hearts and in our minds. And I'm sure you'd agree that the coronavirus pandemic is something in this category, something that can and has caused people to become anxious. As I've already said, we are in the midst of a trial. We are in a season of difficulty. Many of us are feeling pressed. But Paul says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. And in this, He was simply repeating the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've just been through some of that in the Gospel according to Luke. So how do we do it? To ask the question again, what is the way out? The way out of anxiety and everything that goes with it. In everything, Paul says, in every set of circumstances, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what will God do? What will he provide? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is the way out. And especially prayer that includes thanksgiving. Prayer directs our thoughts to God. It draws us up to him, and thanksgiving reminds us of all the good things that he has given us and done for us. When we pray and give thanks, he blesses us with peace. A peace that is beyond human understanding. A peace that keeps us. A peace that secures us. Now the world might be a confused mess, but inwardly we're at rest. I want to share with you what one preacher has written about these verses in Philippians chapter 4. Perhaps you will identify with what he says. This was written nearly 100 years ago in 1922. The author is Harry Ironside. It is so natural to worry and fret under circumstances such as these. Though I tell myself over and over again that nothing is gained thereby, and my trouble only seems to become exaggerated as I try to carry my own burdens. But the Spirit of God points the way out. He would have me bring everything, the great things and the little things, perplexing conditions and trying circumstances of every character, into the presence of God and leave them there. By prayer and supplication, not forgetting thanksgiving for past and present mercies, he would have me pour out my requests unto God. I may feel that I do not know the mind of the Lord in regard to them, but that need not hinder. I am to make known my requests, counting on his wisdom to do for me that which is best, both for time and eternity. Thus, casting my care upon him and leaving all in his own blessed hands, the peace of God, that peace which he himself ever enjoys, though storms and darkness may be round about, a peace passing all understanding, shall guard as with a military garrison my heart, and, the blessed truth, if I but enter into it, my thoughts, or mind, as it is here translated, through Christ Jesus. But this I cannot do for myself. I may tell myself over and over again that I will not worry, will not fret, but my thoughts, like untamed horses with the bit in their teeth, if I may use such an illustration, seem to run away with me. Or, like an attacking army, they crowd into the citadel of my mind and threaten to overwhelm me. But God himself, by the Holy Spirit, has engaged to so garrison my mind and so protect my restless heart that my thoughts shall neither run away with me nor yet overwhelm me. Every thought will be brought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Thus I shall enjoy the peace of God, a peace beyond all human comprehension, as I leave my burdens where faith delights to cast every care, at the feet of him who, having not withheld his own Son, has now declared that through him he will freely give me all things. In this I can rest, for he cannot deny himself. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To finish our time together this morning, I want to focus in on Paul's mention of thanksgiving. It's essential. prayer with thanksgiving is a way of escape. Gratitude is one of the means by which we can endure this season of disruption and difficulty with joy in our hearts. Gratitude can change our whole perspective, our whole outlook. Now, so often our attention is drawn to the difficulties we're dealing with, to the challenges we're facing. We naturally focus on the disappointments, on the things we can't do that we wish we could do. A psychological research has shown that we all suffer from negativity bias. Negative experiences leave a greater impression on us than positive ones. That's the human condition. And as I said last week, I'm naturally a pessimist, so I completely understand this tendency. I get it, and I'm very sympathetic, but it's gratitude that makes a difference. It's gratitude that redirects our minds and our hearts to the good things in our lives. And there are lots of them, especially for we who live in this great country and in this little corner of it. It's gratitude that directs our attention to the blessings that are ours, and more importantly, to the God who gave them. When we take time to notice God's gifts and thank Him, we are filled with joy by His Spirit. For sure, the pressure is still there, but it's much more bearable. Now, our circumstances might not change, but we're able to endure them. Now, there is a wonderful verse in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 10. Ezra had been addressing the people of Jerusalem, reading the law of God and explaining it to them. And it moved them to tears. They were weeping because they were deeply convicted of their sin. And when the service was over, Nehemiah stood up and said, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now that was true for God's people all those years ago, and it's true for God's people today. The joy that He gives us makes us strong. When we have joy, we can cope with whatever comes into our lives, and thanksgiving leads us into joy. Gratitude produces joy. I'm sure it's happened to you at one time or another. You found yourself thinking about God's gifts, and those thoughts have led you into prayer. You begin to give thanks for those gifts in a very simple and quiet way. And as you pray, it's like someone lifts you up inside. You begin to smile inwardly and sometimes outwardly. You find that your strength has been renewed. COVID has made our lives more difficult. COVID has taken some things away from us, but it cannot take away our capacity for gratitude. It cannot take away our ability to pray and give thanks. Only the devil can do that, and only if we let him. God is faithful. God has not suffered us to be tempted above that we are able. He has given us a way to escape so that we might endure. He has given us many ways to escape, and gratitude is one of them. Recognizing the good things that He has filled our lives with and giving thanks for them. If we determine to be grateful, if we're intentional about this, we will be greatly helped. What can you give thanks for today? Now, when this message is over, why not make a list and then go for a walk and say thank you to God for each item on that list? You will be encouraged. You will be lifted. I guarantee it. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Thank you for watching, and may God bless you. Amen.